Welcome back. Episode 28 of the Grapes and Gorak Show. I'm Grapes.
Gorak.
Episode 28.
Obviously.
Obviously, the Adrian Peterson episode.
Okay. I thought you were going to like not.
Well, I was trying
Robert Tate. Yeah, I know you were thinking Robert Tate.
Well, I'm just trying to stay away from that, you know. Kids, you know, all that stuff.
He's a current NFL player. I think we can mention his name.
This is true. Anyways,
he's a free agent. You know, we'll be previewing the free agent, so he's in there if you want to bring him back.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, I mean, Dalvin Cook.
I don't know. Peterson, you know, he's a pretty good player, right?
Well, in his prime, yeah. I mean, granted, he was one of, only 11 or 12 guys, 8 guys to run for over 1,000 yards?
Did he run for over 1,000
yards? Yeah, he got over 1,000 yards this year.
He somehow landed in the perfect situation where they're like, all right, we're going to throw... Or we're going to run the ball like 20 plus times to you only.
Yep.
And then his starting quarterback also got hurt, so that helped.
And then he just kind of went...
Yeah, weird that... I guess that's probably because the offense wasn't actually getting any first downs or anything, but nope. Enough about that.
Washington team.
With the guy who beats kids.
And the quarterback who won't play next year.
Yeah, and the linebacker who got kicked off his first team. For beating women.
And
a lot of good people in Washington.
Yeah, doing great, a good job. Great guys. Great organization.
That's why they always win. Yeah. Didn't want Kirk Cousins, though. Didn't want him.
Nope. Not
upgrade.
Not that.
Upgrade to go to Alex Smith.
Well,
some within the organization were telling people it was an upgrade.
I would say it's an upgrade, too. Like, if I'm in that situation, it's like, you got to sell it.
Well, that's why when it was like sources within the Redskins organization, it's like, oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Like, why do we care what
like, yeah, Jay Gruden's definitely going to say, no, yeah, I know we traded for Alex Smith and gave him a big extension, but, you know, we kind of downgraded at the at the biggest position.
Come on. You got to filter that out to reporters.
Yeah.
You got to know when you're just being told things.
It's like when we got Sam Bradford or Case Keenum. Yeah, it was an upgrade over Teddy. Laughable.
Who said that?
I don't know if anyone actually said it, but that's laughable. You know there's people out there who thought they were upgrades.
There's actual Viking fans who thought they were upgrades.
I know. That's
and still to this day.
The too. Sad part.
Yeah.
But enough about the past.
Yeah, let's talk about this offseason. We're going to go through our kind of offseason checklist of what we think the Vikings need to do do better next year.
Well, obviously. I mean, 8-7-1, we got to get back to the playoffs. We got to take back the North. And, I mean, depending on what we do, we're built for a number one seed.
Yeah, we're a good team. I don't know what happened.
I have no idea. Explain it. 8-7-1. I mean,
DeFilippo, 100% of the blame falls on him.
I want to throw it all on him. That's for goddamn sure.
Yeah. Well, I did. I just did. It was his fault. He's gone, and we're good to go.
Yep. We got Stefanski. We got more.
We got Stefanski and Kubiak, two-headed monster.
Love it.
That would be my first thing on my checklist. Was get a good OC that fits Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
So we can check that off.
We can definitely check that off. And one of mine, and we kind of talked about it, was getting another head coach or some more experience in the locker room.
That's good. I didn't think of that. That's a good one, though.
So, and we got Kubiak, so you can check that off.
Because
we lost Sperano and Shurmur. And I feel like you could kind of see it last year where the offensive,
it was inexperienced on that side. I mean, it was a first, I guess he was a second time OC, DeFilippo.
Yeah.
But no one of any sort of pedigree on his staff, right?
No, we had Sperano going into training camp.
Right.
But then his sudden passing, it threw a wrench in everything because now all of a sudden, DeFilippo, you're the offensive coordinator, but he didn't have anyone that he could kind of like lean on that he could potentially trust. Like Stefanski, he's been around for 10 years, but at the same time, he's my quarterback's coach. Yeah. Like
he's never done anything even higher than DeFilippo, so it's like, how are you going to lean on him? And you can't even really lean on Zimmer because the dude would prefer to just not even deal with offense. You know, like, I'm sure he says some input.
And all of a sudden, he's telling you to run the ball and you don't want to run the ball, so...
Yeah, it all went to hell in a handbasket, that whole offensive staff there. But I think that's a good one. I didn't even think of that. That's definitely something that Zimmer liked. You could clearly tell he liked having someone on the other side of the ball that he could just be like, all right, you make sure this is ran competently.
And I feel like that's why Kubiak got the title he did get, like
assistant head coach, assistant head, advisor.
Yeah, where it's like, you know, you're not the offensive coordinator, but at the same time, I brought you in here to kind of lead the way. You know, Stefanski's going to call plays, but me and you kind of have some camaraderie here. Like, let's...
Like an oversee, you know, like he's just like, you know, they're... And they are even talking about him not having to work like long hours and stuff. So it's like, I don't think he's going to be like deep in the game plans and stuff, but I think he's just going to be like someone that... I don't even know if it's like a person in between that can like just help.
Yeah, I think it's more of like Zimmer's kind of saying, I want a West Coast offense. Why not bring in the best...
Someone that basically helped create that. That's the more of the Shanahan-esque West Coast offense.
Which Cousins fits and like
Cousins ran it. I mean, Cousins was with Kyle Shanahan. He was with
Mike Shanahan.
Oh yeah, he was with Mike and Kyle.
Mike Shanahan drafted him.
Yeah. So
Mike Shanahan preferred him over RG3. That's why he lost his job.
Shouldn't have lost his job then.
Exactly.
So that would be the first two. Do you have any more that relate to basically non-player acquisition, coaching staff, anything like that? I don't think.
Well, I wanted to get like a top tier offensive line coach, but
we don't have a coach yet, huh? Yeah, that would.
I really like Bill Callahan. I think he's still under contract with Washington.
Yeah,
but it sounds like he kind of wants out. So
I think that's a good one, actually, to get a good, well-established offensive line. Like, if it is Callahan or that the Rick Dennison, the one who's been kind of following Kubiak and the Shanahans around for years, if he comes over, or even, like, wasn't Joe Philbin interviewed for offensive line?
I think
was it the other Packer guy?
It was the other Packer.
Regardless, I don't know. I would prefer not to just stick with one of our randoms from last year because they didn't do a very good job.
Agreed. I would really like Bill Callahan. That's why I mentioned him. Because, again, he adds another leadership factor in there. He's been a head coach. He's been around the league two or three times. Mm-hmm. And he seems to be well-liked wherever he goes. Like, nobody ever is like, you know, this guy didn't know what he was doing. Bill, like, tried running his own scheme when we're a bunch of big maulers or vice versa.
It's hard to say, though, like, position coaches, like, what do we know?
True.
You know, like, I mean, do you ever hear much about position coaches?
Nobody
like,
ever really calls them out or anything.
Yeah,
it's kind of calling out the head coach or your teammates.
Yeah. But there are some that make more sense than others. And like Callahan has a track record of having good run games. Good. So one of those that I don't want it to end up being like he stays there. Dennison stays. I think he's with the Jets or something.
Gase
has
right.
to decide if he wants to keep him or not. So there's like a couple out there. If all of a sudden they all get capped and then we're like, all right, we're going to keep Clancy Barone or whatever that dude's name is. Like the guys from last year that sort of got stuck because there was two guys that were coaching the O-line. Like, I don't want that again.
I want someone established. And if we don't get someone established, I really wouldn't mind hiring the unknown rather than rolling it all back.
Yeah.
Just because honestly, you can't do much worse than what you had last year.
Last year sucked.
It was awful.
Those guys were garbage.
Everything was garbage last year. Except that Packers tie. The fourth quarter of the Packers game
was good.
The second Packers game was good, too. And
the Dolphins game was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. The Niners game was cool.
Yeah, it was a good start to the season.
Yeah.
The eight wins were good. Was it eight wins?
Yeah.
7-1.
Mm-hmm.
Sad.
And part of the winning part of the tie was good, too.
The tie was better than some of the wins. Except, that ended in a tie. All right, what else you got? You got anything else relating to...
Non-player acquisitions.
I have nothing.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think I just had the two.
So the first thing I have on... I don't know what the order that things all go in, like, but I'm going to say the first thing is I want us to keep Anthony Harris.
Yeah.
I think... kind of a 99% going to happen. You just have to tender him, and you get to keep him. So,
yep. Did you want to combine that with restructuring Sendejo? I mean, just because... are you kind of implying we get Harris back, Sendejo's
I would leave Sendejo off my checklist because I don't give a flying fuck about him. If he wants to come back for the minimum, that's fine.
See, that's the thing. It's like, I want to bring back Harris... But if we bring back Harris, like, see a Sendejo, I just want people to kind of make sure that's what we're getting at.
Right. Yeah, I just...
I want Harris back as a starter. There, let's just
call it pretty simple. But like we could go through everyone. Like, well, if they want to come back for peanuts, sure. Yeah. Sendejo, you're not going to be making $5.5 million. They're going to void your contract. Would I be okay with him coming back for minimum or near, like basically near minimum? Yeah. You're a backup, sure, but that's not really part of my checklist to make us better. Not retaining Sendejo as a backup.
True.
It's retaining Anthony Harris because he's better and he's cheaper. And
yep.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't have an argument why you wouldn't.
that's an easy one too. I think they're going to completely do it.
And so Harris, that we can agree on that. And this one, I really feel like we're going to disagree on. On my checklist is re-sign Anthony Barr.
I want
to re-sign Barr more than I want to dabble in the interior, the guards in free agency. I'd rather take my chances in the draft than overpay some shit guard when we already have Tom Compton, who's just as good as, I don't know, majority of the guards in free agency. There's like four decent guards who I'd rather have, which we'll go through
and we'll talk about them. But I'm going to disagree with you because I think you'd be overpaying Anthony Barr. If you pay him what he's going to need on the open market, I think you're overpaying him. One, he's not that great. He's good, not great. He's a linebacker. My checklist would be either retain or replace Anthony Barr. Don't leave a hole there. That's my checklist.
That's kind of...
Yeah.
That's now, more or less
I'm more getting. On the side of replace him, but if we brought him back, you're not, like, weakening your team. So, like, just check off that you have two competent linebackers. And I don't really consider Eric Wilson to be starter-worthy.
So, I don't think we have Barr's replacement on the roster.
Yeah.
And nor do I think we've got it in free agency. I mean, I know we said it last week. Thomas Davis is a good player.
He'd be like a one-year bandit because he's like 35.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like, if they signed Thomas Davis, I would count that as checking it off. Like, you...
It's a lateral move.
It's probably even worse than a lateral move. But it still is like you did enough to not create a hole.
You've got a competent replacement.
Yeah, so if you ended up, say you improved the O-line, plugged in the other things, and then you just went from Barr to Thomas Davis, like, I get it, okay? Like, you can't have stars everywhere, so you kind of give and take. But if they just let Barr walk and don't do anything, I would say that's...
If you not, let Barr walk, you have to address that linebacker spot, in my opinion, in the... First or second. I want to say two rounds. You can make an argument for first three.
If it is a guy in the third round, I feel like it needs to be someone that's like talked about as pro ready. They're you know, not some raw project. It's got to be someone like that's just you can plug him in and be your other linebacker.
Yeah, like, and there's guys out there that are like they always talk about like what you see is what you get. Like, he's not going to be a superstar or anything.
Yeah, but Yeah, exactly.
Like you said, pro ready from day one. And
those guys always suck.
They do. They do. But no, if you can actually...
He'll be good right away, but he'll never be that great.
What's it?
It's like Ben Gideon. Like, dude started... Didn't really start. You know, he's like your sub-linebacker guy that comes in on early downs. But, like, he played right away, and he was fine. But it's like, oh, that's it. That's all you're getting.
The name I was thinking of was Vernon Golston. When they were like, oh, the best pro-ready pass rusher in years, this and that. And then the Jets take him at 6, and he's out of the league in 3 years.
Oh, that guy was bad.
Very bad. Would he have a sack and a half in, like, 60 career games?
One I remember is that receiver Brian Rubisky.
Yes.
Remember, everyone was like, his dad's a coach. He's going to be like, he's not going to be great, but he's going to be pretty, oh, he's fundamentally sound. Dude sucked.
Didn't the Browns take him in like the second round?
Second round, I think, and it was like, oh, that's a he'll never be a number one, but he'll be like this solid number two.
Yep, he's a number two receiver right from the start.
He's just not good. No upside, and he's not good. Yeah. So yeah, I would say let's agree, retain or replace Anthony Barr.
Yeah,
you're more retain him.
I'm more retain,
and I'm more replace him.
If you know, I kind of I'm back and forth on wanting to use a tag on him. And going, all right, Barr, we're going to tag you. Let's see if you're worth 15 mil.
Whenever I do, because I've been trying to do some, you know, little like off-season, you know, you go to these websites, you can do the cuts, you can do the signings. Whenever you pay Barr 14 to 15 million, it handicaps the shit out of the rest of your squad. Like, it's so hard.
Are you kind of relying on some cuts and everything at that point?
Well, you immediately cut Sendejo, and you got to do something with Rudolph, which we can talk about.
And then Griffin.
You can restructure Griffin. You can do some of that, which hurts your cap down the road. But you've got some movement there. But even then, you're still just... It's so hard to improve the offensive line, which I can't not do that again this year. Because they didn't do it last year. They didn't, last year checklist would have been 3-tech, quarterback, offensive line. And the only thing they did for offensive line was Brian O'Neill. And they lost Joe Berger.
You're forgetting about Tom Compton.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
I know.
He sucks. If they sign some bum like him, that doesn't count.
See, that's the thing. And sign replace Anthony Barr. I want to move forward to, we can discuss the number, but my opinion would be adding 3 startable interior offensive linemen.
Three.
And that's I'm not saying they have to be starters, but I want to get, whether it's 2 guys or 1 guy in the draft and free agency, vice versa. Mm-hmm. Any way you get to 3, I want 3 guys where you're kind of going in the season and going, all right, which one's going to sit? I know it's a lot to ask with our cap space and everything, but that's just...
And I think it's fair if you say, I want 2 of the higher end type and then 1 depth piece more. It's tough to be well, I want to use a first or a second round pick on a guy and get 2 guys in free agency. That's probably too much to ask, but I do think we need to start next season with 2 new. And then the third one, like you said, a third guy, even if he's more of a mid-round pick or Nick Easton, counting on him to just battle someone for a job. I wouldn't mind Pat Elflein having to earn his job.
Not at all. Not at all. And, if you can never go wrong with adding competition.
Yeah.
And even, to the cornerback spot, when we added Hughes last year, let Waynes and Rhodes and everyone know that, hey, mm-hmm. You guys are good, but let's not get comfortable here. Let's keep working.
A fire under Mac, maybe that's what helped him.
It probably did.
And I just, with Reef and O'Neill, I think are the 2 that are for sure kind of where they are. Unless people think, which I don't know, if you can move Reef inside, I don't know.
I don't think you can, especially not with what we presume to be a zone blocking scheme.
Yeah, I think it seems like a weird fit. So. Assuming that doesn't happen, then you're kind of out of the tackle market. I see tons of mocks with the Vikings taking a tackle in the first round. What do you do with that?
In my opinion, you take if you're taking a tackle, that means Reef isn't in the goes to a depth piece. And at that point, you're paying what I was just going to say. Isn't he making $9.5 million?
And to be fair, according to Pro Football Focus, he was our best lineman. Riley Reef was our best lineman. He's by far our most competent lineman. Now, I know O'Neill didn't give up any sacks, but just based on their grading, Reef is still a pretty good player. He's not...
Yep, and my only thing with that is I just prefer to flip-flop him left to right.
Well, which is fine, but do you do when you draft a tackle in the first round? Unless you're going to go, we're going to move him to guard. As when Reef leaves, he'll move to tackle. I just find that stupid. I don't want to take a guy, I'm going to move to a new position. I'd rather, if a guard is there, take a guard. Or
unless it's that Jonah Williams who keeps on falling down mock drafts for some reason.
Well, it's funny. I keep seeing some NFL writers. I think it was Daniel Jeremiah. They're saying he can move to guard. And then you read the Pro Football Focus guys. And they're if you move Jonah Williams to guard, you should be fired. He is a tackle and he should be a tackle all day. And so it's
but then you got that, I maybe people kind of look at him the Lyle Collins from Dallas. Where he was a tackle in college. They moved him to guard for a couple years. And then they lost what's-his-face last year or 2 years ago. They moved him back to tackle.
Doug Free?
I think it was Free, yeah.
Because they still have Tyron Smith.
Yeah.
I think that's what you would have to do. Because Reef and O'Neill aren't going anywhere. And O'Neill certainly can't go to guard.
Yeah, but I agree with the guys from Pro Football Focus. Because that Jonah Williams guy, dude's a tackle. 6'8", 340.
Yeah, how does
he would not. I want him as a tackle, but if we're going to move him inside, he does not fit what we presume to be a zone blocking scheme. Like, he's 6'8", 340. He can't move up the field as much as like you want to.
It seems kind of lazy to me when I see like all these people just going, well, Minnesota's O-line sucked. Give him a tackle. We don't need a tackle. We need a guard. We need interior. Unless they're all assuming Reef can move in. Which, I don't know, maybe we will, who knows.
I don't think he can. And you know, honestly, I don't want to find out. Like you said, you know, I was bashing Reef all year, but if Pro Football Focus says he was our most competent lineman. Well,
you got to look at his competition. Well, it's not hard to be our most competent lineman.
But like, I'm not willing to try another experiment because Remmers was good at tackle at the beginning of last year, three quarters of the way. We switched him over to guard. And from that point forward, he has sucked. I don't want to do this.
I don't want to do it either. And I just, it kind of sucks because the interior free agency and draft is way weaker than the outside. So we'll get to that.
And I wonder if that's why people are mocking his tackles.
Because there's no guards that are there.
Exactly. Just like, they need offensive line, so we'll give him a tackle.
That's absolutely why. There's no Frank Ragnow to plug in there. Like, oh, perfect, 18, we'll put him there. Or
Billy Price.
Or Isaiah Wynn, who I know the Patriots were going to play in a tackle, but he could have been a guard too. They're just like, Minnesota needs O-line. They, like, everyone in their heads is just like, there was a clear problem with that team, and it was O-line. Give him an O-line.
Like you said, it's just lazy at that.
Yeah, point. It's you know, these guys can't know every team inside and out. They're, you know, they're fucking.
They need offensive line help. We've got one of the better guys on our board. We'll just plug them in there.
So as far as our checklist, I think asking for three, like I'm talking three good guys, like
three startable guys. Like,
yeah, I think that's too much. Like I'm on a realistic checklist because I don't think it's fair to think they're going to re-sign, retain Barr, and get three good linemen.
I get what you're saying. Like, you want something that we can create where it's like, all right, all six, whatever we come up with, is doable.
This is doable. Like, if Spielman doesn't do this, why did he not? Because it was doable type of thing. Now, I think two new offensive linemen has to be.
Yep.
And then I wouldn't mind one more, like a mid-round pick or like a, you kind of a buy low in free agency type of guy, like a guy coming off an injury or something.
Yep.
But going into next year, I want two new starters on the offensive
line. Two new starters on the interior line.
I'll say offensive line because I don't believe Reef could move, but maybe the Vikings do. So if they end up taking Jonah Williams, plugging him in at left tackle and moving Reef in, I'm not going to hold that against them. So
right,
two
on.
New offensive linemen. Yeah.
And two new offensive linemen plus like a sixth or seventh guy.
Someone else to compete or be. It'll be interesting to see what they do with, like, a Rashad Hill. Like, do they try to keep him around? Because if you don't, who's your backup tackle? Collins? Avante Collins? Like, some of that's a little scary. So. Yeah. But, yeah,
just
we'll
coming
say
off
that.
A season-ending injury. But, yeah, so two new starting offensive linemen next.
And then, one other lower-end piece, whether it be a lower-end free agent or a late-round pick. Next, we'll talk the three tech. I think, again, similar to Barr with me, I'm going to say either retain or replace.
Yep.
I don't really care who it is. I don't want it to be.
I feel like retain, replace Sheldon is kind of like, I don't know. I'm kind of feels lazy. Like, do we want to, I kind of want to like put, you know, an emphasis on it. If we replace Richardson, it's got to be, you know, first one or two rounds or.
Well, yeah, it can't be a fifth-round pick. Well, that's not replacing.
Yeah, or it could be like, we took Jalen Holmes in the
fourth.
Okay.
Replace means Gerald McCoy, Ngakoue Sue, Grady Jarrett. Who are the other? First or second-round pick where it's like, here's our new three tech. It can't be
Tom Johnson. Like,
Holmes is our new starter. That's a clear downgrade. Now there's a hole there. Like, last year, wasn't it Tom Johnson most of the season? And it was like, clearly would have been on a checklist. Okay, that spot needs to improve. And they improved it. So, like, as long as we don't go backwards.
So
and I don't
is,
call.
That's the part of our checklist. It's improving checklist. So, if we don't replace or.
Retain or improve, kind of like.
Yeah, like, we're not. If we end up with Jalen Holmes as a starting three tech next year.
Well, and like even if like after the draft, say we let Richardson walk, we don't really sign anyone of any sort of obvious talent. Like who's that idiot we signed? Dayton Jones. That doesn't count. That guy is like a minimum contract. Hopefully, maybe he's good. Probably won't because he's garbage.
And he wasn't.
And then we go into the draft and we don't take anyone until the fourth round. That's not... You have a hole at three tech. Like, yes, Holmes and the rookie and the Dayton Jones type can all compete for that job. But you got a problem there. You know? So like that...
They're not Sheldon Richardson.
Yeah. As far as like more my opinion, I think Sheldon Richardson, we could get him back for like cheaper than people think. What did he do this season that makes you think he should get more than last season?
Nothing. He was the same guy. I think you're going to be able to get him same price.
You could. I wonder if you could literally do a 1 year contract again for $8 million, or you could get him for maybe cheaper per year if you did like is he still thinks he's going to get some big huge payday? Because I don't think he's getting it.
I don't think he's ever going to get it unless I feel like he wants another prove it deal. I really do. I feel like and you know what?
How many prove it deals does he want? Because like he's running out now.
What I'm saying. Like another just another like 1 year deal. And you know what? He's not, and you know what? He might just be the kind of guy who goes, you know what? I know I'm not going to get the big time money, so I just want to go year to year. If I have a good year next year, I can go make $10 million next year.
And I just think that, like, I think he had a good year. So I don't think there's anything more to him. And I don't know. Maybe he believes there is. But see, I feel like he just is what he is.
I think last year is what you saw. Because he's, 27, 28?
Yeah, he's 6 years in the league now. So, like, which is good, not...
He's a lot better run stopper than I thought he was.
Yeah.
I thought he was more of a pure pass rushing.
He's, like, all around very good. But very good might even be a stretch. All around good. Like, he's not making a ton of plays. He's just, like, I don't know. He's worth $8 million for a year.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe if he wanted to, say, get a little more security and do, like, a three-year deal, maybe you could get him, like, three for 20 and then guarantee, like, a little, you know, 2 years of it where it's, you could maybe work it around where you can make some money. I just think you could get him for almost half the price of Barr.
I'm inclined to agree at that.
Richardson just had a weird path. Like, he had his problems at the Jets, then he got traded, then he left. Like, he's just, it's not like a clean free agent. Like, whereas, like, Barr, it's like, okay, you played out your rookie contract, now it's time for the open market. Like, I don't know, Richardson just seems like a guy who's going to come back for a year. Plus, DT seemed to do that. Like, remember when, like, Dontari Poe got 1 year? There was a few of them.
Yeah, there was. And it was just two off seasons.
That went to the Colts, was it? Who's the run stuffer? It wasn't Snack Harrison, who got traded for like peanuts. Also weird. The other guy.
Oh, Hankins?
Yeah, like Jonathan Hankins, like sat on the market for like ever. So I just don't know if people like care about DTs.
But then you kind of look at it, or you go the other way. The Bucks gave Bo Allen, four-year, $30 million deal. I was looking
at contracts. What are they doing with that contract?
I have no... I mean, I know he was a good player in Philly, but like... They paid him money. They Philly had an eight-man rotation. Like, yeah, they were always fresh.
Yeah, and he didn't play a ton. Yeah. So like, yeah, that was a weird one. But, so that's the Sheldon... Yeah, so I think we disagree. The Sheldon...
Bo Allen went to Minnetonka.
Nobody cares. He's probably going to
get I played against him sophomore year of
high school. Was he worth his contract?
Well, let's just put it this way. He steamrolled me.
Well, most dudes do, so.
Dude. Not cool.
So, yeah, we'll agree. Richardson's spot either needs to continue to be Richardson, or we need to replace him with someone of equal or greater value.
Greater value.
Yeah, we don't want lesser. That's not...
We're trying to win a Super Bowl here.
Yeah, we're trying to improve the team.
Not get the first round pick, first overall pick.
You were ready to like trade everyone and tank for Colin. What was that guy's name? Murray? No, not that guy. Trevor Lawrence.
No, that's not tanking this year. We'd have to tank after Cousins' contract. Cousins last year.
Terrible idea. You have another one? I still got a few more I could talk about.
Richardson, Barr.
We did the offensive line. We did Barr. We did Richardson. Those are kind of the main pieces, I think, that are like kind of in flux right now. I got another one. I would say improve receiver depth. Because after Thielen and Diggs, it is horrible.
Yeah.
Eldridge Robinson, street free agent. He's fine. You can do better than that.
You can find them on the street.
Laquan Treadwell, it's probably never going to happen. Sorry to say. And then there's Chad Beebe and Brandon Zylstra. Like, there was not another weapon to help out those two at all. I mean, you got teams like the Chiefs where they have Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce.
DeMarcus Robinson. They really have nothing after those three.
But at least they had three. We only had two. So, like, teams are double-teaming both our receivers, and no one else can get open.
Well, Kyle Rudolph.
Don't fucking say Kyle Rudolph.
Travis Kelce. He's
not good. I would say...
Talk to me in April when I've seen a bunch of, like, Laquan Treadwell working out highlights, and I go, dude, it's Treadwell season.
I feel like what could easily happen is, like, we draft a receiver, like, earlier than people think, and then Treadwell gets traded, like, 2 weeks later after the draft for, like, a sixth-round pick.
John Gruden will call.
Yeah. Oh, I think you could get something for Treadwell. I just think it's going to be, like, a six.
I just think it's going to be conditional.
Yeah, if he makes the team kind of thing.
Or, like, he's got to have 40 catches.
Yeah, it'll be a... The Bradford thing where we were supposed to get a third round comp for him and he fucking doesn't even finish the season. In some sort of way. I don't mean sign Golden Tate. I mean sign
Adam Humphries.
Yeah. Like,
I'm kind of in that, like, let's go get like a real slot receiver.
Well, see, I could go two ways with the receiver we get. Either we get the pure slot receiver or you just get a burner. Like, you get a guy like, a dream would be if DeSean Jackson got cut and you signed him and all of a sudden you got Cousins and DeSean back together. And I know it's like, well, we already have Stephon Diggs and Thielen, but like, can you imagine how easy it would be for those two if you had a guy who you had to keep a safety over top of them?
Unreal.
They could work all those, you know, they're such good route runners. They can work all those underneath stuff while you just send DeSean Jackson deep.
He's like a
billionaire's Aldrick Robinson.
Yeah.
So Torrey Smith. Like, someone like that, like, or go the other way, and then you play Diggs and Thielen on the outside the whole time, and you get Adam Humphries type. But they seem to love Chad Beebe, but I'd rather someone be able to actually compete for that job. So,
true.
Two ways to go about it.
Yep, and I hadn't thought about it until you mentioned it. I'm ready to just scrap the slot thing. Let's go get a good burner.
Think of how much... That would open up. Like, when you were rewatching the Bears game, so many times we ran drags with three different times we ran a drag with Diggs, and their safety just ran straight to cut him off. Didn't worry about anyone over top, just immediately saw the drag and jumped the drag because they ran cover one. So, like, yeah, there's a safety back there, but if you had DeSean, it's a lot harder. That safety has to shade towards that side or do something because that's someone that has speed.
Which then you can open up the post on the other side.
The whole other side is wide open. Like, that guy's to commit. Like, so I know people are kind of like offensive line, but like, man, if you added like one more dynamic playmaker, like, I think it could like offenses
that does
are
a lot.
Offenses are like way we need to score. Like, offense is what you need. And also, I feel like Zimmer, like, just you got your D, like, figure it out. Like, you don't need first round picks in every spot. Try to do it something with like having a hole in your defense for once. Because last year he literally had good players at every spot. Give Cousins one more weapon. Give him two more weapons. I don't know. Like,
trade back into the second round out of your first round spot and go get Hollywood Brown.
I would not mind him at all. I was watching highlights of him.
I'm a big fan of that Hollywood Brown.
You think you'd have to get him trading back?
Yes. I see
until he runs 4.2 at the combine.
As of now, I see him being mocked in like the middle later half of the second round. Oh, okay. Where like, you know,
I would love that pick.
Love it. Honestly, I wouldn't mind it at 18 either.
I wouldn't either. I was doing some again, like, messing with offseason plans and stuff. And, like, you add him, and I was even putting him as a first-round pick. And, like, it's just he's basically DeSean Jackson. Like, that's what he does in college.
He's Antonio Brown's cousin.
That's true.
For real. Yeah. Like,
he looks like I don't want to say, like, just because he looks like someone, that's who he is, but he looks like Tyreek Hill out there. Like, just the way he runs, the way he catches the ball. Like, if you added that type of player, imagine a poor man's Tyreek Hill in this offense. Like, Thielen and Diggs would be open every play. Like,
every play, and if not, he's going to be open.
Yeah. Well, that's why when you watch the Chiefs, it's like, why is no one covering Kelce? It's because there's two guys on Tyreek Hill and one over the top. Like,
And if they're not over the top and if they double cover Hill and Kelce, then you got Watkins over the middle.
So, improving the receiver depth. In some sort of fashion. I'm not expecting us to use a first-round pick in a receiver. I'm not expecting us to sign the best free agent receiver. But I don't think we can go back into the season with Aldrick Robinson, street free agent, as our third receiver.
Nope.
Or Laquan, I've done nothing in my whole career. Treadwell.
Well, he's dropped a couple passes. Yeah, don't say he's done nothing. He had
a touchdown against Green Bay.
I got another one.
All right.
Because I just spaced it when he asked me last time. And I don't know how to word it, but I guess upgrade tight end.
I have that too. Upgrade tight end.
Or slash add move tight end.
Yeah. Like, as far as what I would consider upgrading tight end, cutting Rudolph would help. Restructuring Rudolph would be fine by me. He's paid too much right now. But then you need to add something, whether it be a first, second, or third round pick, or one of the free agents out there.
Yeah.
But it doesn't need to be, which there isn't. I don't think there is a good, like some beastly free agent out there. Like last year was like, I mean, Jimmy Graham turned out to be terrible, but like he would have been like, oh, we got Jimmy Graham. I don't expect that because we don't really have the money for that, but someone, you know.
Yeah.
Or a draft pick. Because we don't have any sort of vertical threat at all. Rudolph's a red zone player.
Okay. So go sign Saffold. I'm just spitballing here. Tell me if I'm a little over the top. All right. Sign Saffold. Draft either Noah Font or the other tight end
Hockenson.
Or Hockenson.
Or Irv Smith Jr., the Alabama guy?
Okay. Hadn't thought about him lately. I just really like the Iowa guys.
Yeah. Him and Font are more so, I think, similar. And then the Hockenson's more of your Kittle type. Lines up in line, but still can run those.
I saw him in a mock draft at 9 other week.
Underneath NFL.com had one because it was underneath the NFL Network's thing. Like literally, he was like Detroit at 9 or something. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck?
But so one of those guys.
Yeah.
Trade.
Are you talking first round right there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Trade up from 2. Trade your 2 and 3 for a higher 2 and a 4. Get Hollywood Brown.
I mean,
your fourth round pick, you get 3 tech and an offensive lineman. And who the hell cares what you do?
Well, like, no, I actually like think that's not that bad of an idea to just go all in on offense. Like,
get playmakers who will make when if Cousins doesn't have time, somebody will be open.
Yeah, and like there's no excuses then, and it's like you need to outscore teams. You need to outscore them. And our defense, even remember not this year, but the year before when we went 13-3, we didn't have a good 3 tech. We went 13-3, had the best defense in the league. Yeah, we had like everyone else, but it's just like Zimmer can work around some holes. He doesn't have to have this perfect defense. If there's games where Barr is out or we don't have him next year, like it's not gonna be. You're not gonna go from the best one of the best defenses to just dog shit because Anthony Barr is gone. Like some human NFL caliber player will be standing in his spot trying to replicate that position. So like I would just kind of like it if all of a sudden we went like grabbed a dynamic burner receiver, got a better tight end, 2 new offensive linemen, and now it's like, all right, this is a good offense. This is way better than last year. And even if the defense is a slightly worse talent-wise, you got Mike Zimmer, you got a secondary that is ridiculously deep, and you got Daniel Hunter and Everson Griffin.
And at that point, you really only need 5 guys on the offensive line who only need to give you 2.5 seconds. Yeah, like, let's be real.
Guys are open.
Because guys should be open. Whether it's back foot flick of the wrist over the top to Smoke Brown, Hollywood Brown.
Smoke Brown is a free agent, though. That's another one up.
You could.
We'll talk. We're going to get to the free agents.
Smoke Brown, Deshaun Jackson, you know, boom.
DJX isn't a free agent, but could be cut.
Yeah, because didn't he kick over a Christmas ornament or something like that?
I think he's paid a lot with no guarantee. I think Bruce Arians wants to keep him. Because that's like a perfect fit in his offense, but there's talks that he wanted to go back to Philly or something.
Well, and I heard that people want him cut because he like kicked over a Christmas ornament or something like that. I don't know.
You're Santa. But yeah, upgrade tight end.
Yeah,
I'm not saying we have to cut Rudolph.
He's got to be restructured.
Got to be restructured, and I don't.
He's got to make half.
Yeah,
or less.
He needs to make half or less, and he. We need someone that's more dynamic. Like, unless we get lucky and Tyler Conklin has a breakthrough, I don't expect it. Like, I think we need to add someone. You got to add someone.
Yep. Michael Pruitt.
Mike. Why would you?
Bucky Hodges. I don't know. I'm just spitballing names here.
Okay. I only have one more thing.
I don't have
any. Because I'm not touching the corners. I'm not touching the running back. I'm not quarterback. It's all fine. Like, they're all minor details. The only last thing I have, which isn't even that big either, is I want someone that can return kicks and or just keep Amir Abdullah around. Because I thought he did a pretty good job.
Yep.
But I don't want what we had at the beginning of last year because those guys were terrible. You had Stacey Coley handing the ball to the official without even kneeling it. You had...
And you know, the worst part is we're sitting there and I'm watching him do it and I don't hear a whistle and watch the dude run away from the ref run away from the ball. I'm like, what are you doing, man?
The ref's like, whoa.
Because the new rule is that you have to give like the arm signal. You know, you got
to
spread your arms.
Then you don't need to catch it.
Then you don't need to catch it. And if you do...
No, it'll hit you.
And if you catch it, you still have to kneel it, though. So Stacey Coley was just in the wrong.
Stacey Coley's an idiot. And I don't even remember who else was doing it. I know Hughes did it a little bit, not much, because he obviously got hurt like pretty early. He wasn't as good as I had hoped at
Cheryl's
it.
Cheryl's did it.
Cheryl's was terrible
The thing with why Cheryl's is bad at kick returning.
But good at punt returning?
Is like, punt returning is you got to have the hands.
That's number one. Catch the ball, don't fumble it.
Yep.
And know when to call fair catch and when to let it go and all that kind of crap.
Whereas like kick returners, it's an offensive play. Well,
you could drop the ball and no one's gonna be there to pick it up. That's why Cordell Patterson and Percy Harvin could never punt return because they didn't know how to catch the ball correctly. They caught it up over their head by their helmet. So
as they're running towards
it. Like it didn't work. And then I think he's also good at punt returns, Cheryl's is because he's more like agile and quick more than like straight line fast. Like once Cordero or Harvin got going, it took like a slight little cut and they would never lose speed on their cuts. Like they were just perfect at it. Whereas like Cheryl's is not that fast. He's like quicker than fast. So he sucked at it. Hughes wasn't as good as I'd hoped. And Stacey Coley didn't even know how to kneel the ball correctly. So Amir Abdullah I thought was pretty good at it.
I thought he
had a couple that he almost broke. He never made a horrible decision where it was like, why is he taking this out?
Yeah,
he didn't like run sideways on the 10-yard line, you know, like our guys like to do.
Yeah.
That's like, small one though.
Like, yeah, but I like that. Yeah, I like adding that's that something at the bottom that, there. I like adding that at the bottom.
And that's easy to fill. That one you can fill with a 7th-round pick where all he is.
Or the vet minimum.
Yeah, or the vet
D'Anthony minimum. D'Anthony Thomas or whoever from Kansas City.
Did he just beat someone?
What did he really?
DUI or something?
Oh,
I think he did something wrong.
Poor bastard.
I
blame the CTE.
You can't blame that for everything, Ryan.
Sure you can. They're football players.
They get away with everything. So I think that's our list. We'll post it on Twitter, and as we get them, we'll check them out.
Yep, and why don't we just go through it all for everyone.
So the first thing was get an OC that fits Cousins. Add experience. Check. To the offensive side, or the coaching staff in general. The third one with the coaching staff was get a experienced line coach, which we're waiting for.
Yep.
Someone that isn't internal, nobody, random fuckhead.
Everything
or picking up some randoms like assistant coach. I don't want that either. I don't want us to be like, oh, we got the assistant line coach from some shit team. I want someone that's done
from
it.
Some shit team, yeah. But yeah, if it's assistant line coach from
the Rams, you know, if he knows Sean McVay, maybe he's like been on his hips or something.
Well, what did you see what Wade Phillips said?
What? Yeah. Oh, about his
son.
Yeah.
His son knows him,
so he's jobs already or something like that. Wade Phillips is hilarious because there was also that press conference where Sean McVay like rattled off all the defensive starters for the Bears, and it was like people are like, that's amazing, but like really that's not that amazing. Like I can name all the defensive starters for the Bears. Yeah. Like, why is that amazing? But it's, you know, people love Sean McVay. So then Wade Phillips just did the exact same thing with the offense.
Yeah.
Just completely not even acting like he's, you know, just
yeah, and he's just sitting there, he's like,
you know, worried about Trubisky and Jordan Howard, you know, they got Tariq Cohen, but he's just clearly trolling all the people that were like so in love with fucking McVay. It's like, dude, McVay can do some impressive shit with his memory. Naming the Bears 11 starters is not.
No, like, besides offensive linemen, for the most part, yeah, I could probably give you
every single one. Yeah. I mean, all you got to do is play Madden, and then you got it. What's funny, though, is then you think
Sean
Jeff Fisher.
Sean McVay is 32. Dude probably loves Madden. It's probably why he's so good. Taking plays right out of the Madden playbook.
Yeah, none of these older coaches ever got to play Madden. They don't even know how to manage the clock. They don't know how to fucking. It's bad. But no, Jeff Fisher, didn't he name a player that was like injured for like a whole season, and he was like, yeah, we're worried about this player.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then it is like, wow, you can have a coach that's just totally checked out and there's no shit.
That's true.
But that's Jeff Fisher. Doesn't play
Or
that.
You got Stephen A. Smith saying that.
Yeah. He did it again.
He did it again. Oh, God.
He's an idiot.
Well, I saw somebody defending him. They're like, well, yeah, you know, he he does basketball, right. UFC, bowl, or not bowling, but all these other stuff. And they're
bowling.
Like,
he does bowling. And as someone, we're watching them,
somebody replies like, "Yeah, he does all that horribly."
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah, he's bad at it. He's only there to back when he was supposed to go up against Skip Bayless, and they used to say, you know, crazy shit. Like, you know, it's so stupid.
Colin used to love First Take.
Is that show still around? Right.
Yeah, but it's Stephen A. Smith and Max.
Yeah,
because
Bayless left.
Or, yeah.
Somewhere.
And but yeah, Colin's like, I don't know anything about football, but I know these guys are wrong.
Yes. All right. So back to our list. That's the coaching thing. There's three things on the coaching. They've already got two of them.
Yep.
Player wise, we wanted to retain or replace Barr.
Yep.
Retain or replace Sheldon Richardson.
Yep.
Two new offensive linemen plus a third depth type guy to compete. Keep Anthony Harris around.
Yep.
Add something to the receiving core.
Yep.
And upgrade at tight end.
Yep.
And I believe... Oh, and then the kick return.
And the kick return.
Make sure our kick returner is competent.
Eight.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 7 plus 3. That's 10.
10. Oh.
3 coaching. I mean, 2 are already done, so there's only 8 more.
So 8 more. But
so. And I think it's doable. I did a few like mock off seasons. It's doable. Obviously, you can't retain Barr, sign the best guard, and draft... You know, like... You got to give and take a little bit.
We can't get Barr, McCoy, and Saffold.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, you got to be reasonable with what you're expecting, but it is doable, too. Retaining Barr makes it a lot harder, though. I'll tell you that right now.
I believe
but
it.
But it's because you're paying him twice as much as some of the guys you can get, you know, but it is what it is. So now we'll jump into the offensive free agents. Do we want to break first? Do you want to eat some more pizza?
Yeah, it's
I mean, you got
take
two
a break.
Pizzas in front of you, so I feel like you
need only ate half of it.
Yeah, you've still got
and the viewers should know that they're only like little like 10-inch pizzas, 12-inch pizzas. It's not like it's some like, you know, large supreme. It's just, you know, a nice little
It's Pizzeria Lola.
It's, you know, a little wood stove cheese pizza. You know, Old Reliable is what they call it here.
I know. At first when you said I'm going to get Old Reliables, the first time you did it, I was like, apparently Ryan calls it that, and then I see the receipt, and they literally call the cheese pizza Old Reliable.
Yep.
Makes sense.
Yep, the Old Reliable.
Yeah, can't fuck up a cheese pizza. I mean, you can, but...
Well, you can. And by the way, I believe I gave Pizzeria Lola an 8.6.
Yeah, well, you gave the offensive lineman a B+, so...
Yeah.
So your grading credibility is out the window.
Take this with a grain of salt, but it's good pizza.
All right, let's break. And we're back. Ryan's got a slice of pizza in his mouth, but we're ready. Ready to roll with the offensive free agents. This could obviously change with franchise tags and all that nonsense. People getting re-signed and cut. But let's just jump into quarterbacks.
Okay.
We have Trevor Siemian leaving.
Yeah.
I think we both sort of are cool with maybe Kyle Slaughter being the backup.
I'm cool with that, and then adding a little developmental piece in the draft.
Yeah, like
undrafted free agent.
Finally drafting someone again. I mean, has it been since Teddy?
Since Teddy.
John David Booty. Christian Ponder.
Wow, like, I was thinking Tyler Thigpen.
Oh, that's even way back there. The quarterback class for free agents is pretty much horrible compared to, well, like really in general, but compared to last year. Like last year you had Kirk Cousins. You had
cream of the crop.
Teddy. You had Case Keenum.
Bradford.
I mean, a lot of them turned out to be worthless, but
all four of those guys we named either are or were Vikings.
Yeah. Fucking bizarre. This year, Teddy's back in the market.
Yep.
I would say he was... So I sort of broke him down into like, you're either like an elite game changer starter, you're a good starter, you're a placement level starter, you're a backup, you're worthless.
Oh,
so it's like five tiers. There's no game-changing quarterback out there. There's no Kirk Cousins, who, I mean, some would argue he's not, but... Like, as far as, like, a free agent quarterback.
I'm just upset that you didn't include Teddy in that, just for bias reasons. Just for bias.
Okay,
sake.
Just for the brand.
Yeah, for the brand.
I put Teddy as a good starter.
Okay.
You're going to reel in a bit. And I put him as the only good starter.
Yeah, I'm not.
The other ones would be, so Tyrod Taylor. I'd say he's replacement level. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Replacement level.
And then after that, I actually have Trevor Siemian as the next best guy. So there's five backup types, I would say. Trevor Siemian, Josh McCown, Brock Osweiler, Ryan Griffin, and RG3.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Who is Trevor Siemian starting football for next year? I want to know, because honestly, naming all those guys, I would not doubt if Jacksonville brings him in with some rookie and Simeon starts 6 or 7 games.
Well, I mean, I think there's not a ton of open quarterback spots.
You know, it is one of those years because like, the first after
last
five,
year, that's the problem, is they all drafted guys last year.
The top five picks this year don't need a quarterback.
Yeah, I think the first one is the Giants, right?
At 6, and then you can, like, I'd argue the Jags, but yeah, they might be stupid and roll out portals.
Well, so I have potential cuts, and Nick Foles probably going to get cut, so he'd be another good starter. I say he's in the Teddy realm.
Yep. And
he, I think he could go to the Jags, yeah.
Flips the offensive
so
corner.
That takes that spot. Joe Flacco's very available.
Yep, and I
think he's a trade candidate, though.
Yeah, and there were rumors floating around in December and whatnot that he preferred to be in Miami. I don't know if that can happen
like if
or
it
whatnot.
Fits or whatever. Yeah. So then, like, beyond that, what other teams need quarterbacks? Tampa Bay seems clearly they're sticking with Jameis.
Yep.
They've made that clear.
Dolphins, we mentioned
that.
Yeah,
them, so, Dolphins, Giants. Jags, Giants.
Redskins, because it does not sound like they are expecting Alex Smith back next year.
That's a Teddy destination, I feel like. That could definitely be a Teddy spot.
Because
I think they're also a team. There's your teams that are clearly going to draft. They're cool with more of a developmental guy, which I think the Giants would look that way. Because it's like, they don't need Teddy. They have Eli.
No.
Like, they've got the guy.
They've got the bridge.
They've got the bridge. Whereas someone like the Redskins, I think they think they're more of a, we can win now. Because that's what they've always been. They're Dan Snyder. They think they're always good. Yep. And they're never good. But so I don't think they're going to want to restart. And where do they draft? Like middle, right?
Yeah, I think they're in the 14.
So
to
if they really
16.
Wanted someone, they'd probably have to trade up for them. So
which I did see them in. So I like mock drafts that like mock trades and whatnot.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
it's
like,
all crazy.
Yeah. But somebody had him jumping up to like 8 or whatever. After
is that Haskins?
No. Kyler Murray.
Oh, Murray. Okay.
Which you could, I feel like you could probably sit where they're at and get Murray just because I feel like a lot of people are going to knock him for being like 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah. It's tough. Like every time it's like, you could probably sit and wait. And lately, everyone's trading up for quarterbacks. Like,
yeah, I mean, the Chiefs,
they all traded up. So like, if you want to risk sitting there. Another one, maybe Bengals. Like, they can save a lot of money, but then I just saw a report that they're totally okay with Andy Dalton. So maybe they.
But at the same time, like, new quarterback comes from McVay. He was the quarterback coach over there.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like. Maybe he wants to draft a guy.
Yeah. I could see a draft. I could see a first round, second round guy for the Bengals. I don't see a free agent going.
I don't see Teddy going to compete with Andy Dalton or swapping out Dalton for Teddy, which I would prefer if I were the Bengals.
Absolutely.
I just don't realistically probably not happening.
Yeah.
We said we'd keep it short with the quarterbacks, but we want them pretty.
Well, it's Teddy. It's Teddy time. You know?
Teddy time, Teddy two goals, Teddy two minutes.
I'm going through the divisions and it's like there's really not a good spot for him. Like Raiders seem to sticking with Carr, right?
And they're sticking with Carr.
Yeah, and then you got the Bengals are kind of maybe Texans, Colts, Titans, Jags, they all have quarterbacks.
How about the Browns? Do they need a quarterback? They're always in the market for a quarterback.
Not today. That's literally there's the Giants, Jags, and like maybe Miami. Miami might even stick with Tannehill. And if they don't, then he's out there too. So, you know, we said that Bridgewater wasn't going back to New Orleans, but like if he can't get a job where it's like he's at least competing. He could go back to New Orleans and be like, fine, I'll be the backup again, and then Drew Brees will leave.
Yep, and, like...
I still don't think he will.
That's obviously not his preference.
Yeah, I think...
But if he's going to go somewhere knowing where he's going to end up backing up, it's going to be New Orleans, somewhere he's familiar with, and with an aging quarterback who could potentially get hurt at any given moment just because...
Brees is an Iron Man.
He's 43, though. I don't know how. 41?
We're talking Tom Brady age now, you know? So, yeah, I don't... And then...
This chick has no form throwing bags. She just, she's all linked over. Look at this.
She's got headphones in too. I'm not sure that helps.
AirPods, terrible.
Yeah. If we were to sign a backup, I think we're all in agreement that Trevor Siemian probably our favorite one. Not that he was any good, but like.
Out of what you labeled?
Unless you pay extra to get like Fitzpatrick.
I'll take Trevor Siemian over Ryan Griffin.
Yeah, Brock Osweiler, Josh McCown. I mean, you want to go to the tier that I called like worthless?
The Brockweiler, Brocktober? I don't know. Maybe I move him up.
Brocktober. If you go below that, it's Geno Smith, Joe Webb, Tom Savage,
Geno Smith, Brett Hundley, used to be mocked in the top five. Like, Mark dude's Sanchez. Got talent. Mark Sanchez, give it to me.
Yeah, so it's a bad quarterback group, but there's not a lot of teams that need quarterbacks. If the Vikings bring one of those guys in as the backup, whatever, I don't give a shit. I'd rather see.
How about E.J. Manuel? Is he still available?
He is. He's still bitching that doesn't have a job, and Nate Peterman does.
Oh, dude, you never mentioned Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, I don't consider him available.
He is available. He is unsigned. He's not on a roster.
Does he still kneel for the anthem?
Don't care.
Well, here's the thing. He just hasn't been. Oh, I guess Mark Sanchez wasn't around for years, but. So Colin Kaepernick, I would put Kaepernick in the backup spot above all these other trash players.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Maybe even in the replacement starter. Would you rather have him or Ryan Fitzpatrick? I don't know, Fitzpatrick, man, that PFF grade, solid. The
Fitz magic. Now,
you talk about his PFF grade.
Now, give me a comparable quarterback.
To who?
Do I want Colin Kaepernick or Tyrod Taylor? You know, they both can run.
I'd rather have the unknown of Kaepernick.
Absolutely.
Super Bowl experience.
Dude's got tattoos. I want all of that. Nice mulatto skin.
Let's move on to another position that we kind of don't care about as...
running backs.
Yeah. Why is this? This is...
Not really...
So...
Don't really need any. We've got Murray as a free agent.
Out there. He's actually one of the better ones again. Not one of the better ones, but like he's better than... There's a lot of trash out there.
He's better than LeGarrette Blount, who I believe is probably out.
Oosh, and yeah, LeGarrette Blount's. I put their Pro Football Focus grades again, like next to him on this spreadsheet, and he was bad.
Really?
Oh yeah, he was.
I thought it was just gonna be you being biased and having him at the bottom because he's a fat back.
Literally the worst of anyone. 45 grade.
That is not good. That is not good.
No, like 60's bad. So 45 is like really bad. Mm-hmm. So the number one guy who I would say is like an elite in that top tier, Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
He's out there. We don't really care about him. Whatever. Next one down would be Tevin Coleman and Mark Ingram.
They're not going to get
good
them.
Starters. Yep. We're not going for them. We're not even going to try. Although I did see 1500 ESPN wrote an article was talking about like potential players we could get. Like they named Tevin Coleman. Like we would some two-headed monster. Like we're not going to spend starter money on a running back.
And like...
He's not taking backup money.
Yeah. And aren't Coleman and Cook kind of relatively the same player?
Very maybe, similar.
And yeah. Cook's obviously a little more beefy.
Yeah.
And... Coleman probably has a little better hands on the backfield, but they're the same players.
Yeah, you're not like yin and yang like we did more with the Murray, where he's more of like the straight line thumper type. So kind of weird. The next tier down with the replacement level starters: Jay Ajayi, Frank Gore, Adrian Peterson, Latavius Murray, Mike Davis. Mike Davis now, not that we get him, good underrated, player. Only 26 years old.
Yep, out of South Carolina.
Yeah, he had a better PFF grade than Tevin Coleman, then J.J. Peterson.
Well, Mike Davis.
Worse than Latavius Murray, though.
Mike Davis is, like, he's a little bulkier of a back.
Yeah.
But he's got good hands. Mm-hmm. He can make people miss. Good in pass protection.
He would actually be a good
back. Unrealistic wish list. Like,
add someone like that.
Like, Mike Davis might be on that.
Yeah. The unrealistic wish list.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that he would make that. Because, like, right now I see us, like, we have Mike Boone, who we clearly really like. We have Rock Thomas, who we clearly really like. So, like, I'm okay with us just letting Murray walk and calling it a day.
Nope.
I'm okay with us bringing Murray back. I mean, either, I don't really. Nope. I don't hope. I wouldn't see the field much. After that, it's guys like, if you want, like, the scat back, Corey Grant had, like, a really good receiving grade, but he's terrible at running.
Yep.
Darren Sproles.
Sproles.
Yeah. Spencer Ware.
Wouldn't mind bringing in Sproles. A little return action.
Yeah, I mean, good punt returner. Well, we have a punt returner, but we might not have a punt returner. He's a free agent.
Well, can Sproles return kicks too? Or
I guess
he's probably 34.
Yeah, so I feel like he's, again, like he's that he's shorter, more shiftier, more quick than fast. It's really, after that, not that great. The only other one that's somewhat decent is Spencer Ware, who had a pretty good grade coming back from his injury, and then he's only 28 years old. But I don't see us adding a veteran. I feel like it's either Murray comes back or we just go with youth.
Yep.
So.
Well, you mentioned Spencer Ware, and he actually kind of does seem like the kind of guy who will be floating around near training camp, and seems like the kind of guy the Vikings would take a flyer on.
Yeah, and I think a lot of these running backs will be floating around because like no one wants like Zach Zenner, like his. His receiving grade is terrible, but his running is actually pretty good. you know, no one's running out to go get Zach Zenner. No one's running out to get... I know C.J. Anderson's playing in the Super Bowl, but, like, dude was on the scrap heap a couple weeks ago.
Nope.
He'll be available. Bilal Powell. Ty Montgomery, if you want a kick returner type, you know, he'd be someone. So, you know, it's...
I'm surprised the Ravens don't... I'd be surprised if the Ravens don't retain Ty Montgomery because they gave up
the
sixth round.
Yeah. And mostly for pick. His returns, I think. Cause
yeah.
Like, with the help of... He had, like, seven running backs.
Yeah, and didn't they... just like muff a kick return to lose the game week before they traded
him. But they got Ty Montgomery who fucked up. He's the one who fucked up for the Packers.
That's the reason.
Yeah. That's why the Packers traded him. Yeah,
that's what it was.
You're kind of like you're buying low on a guy that the fan base just wants to stab. Sort of like the Dan Carlson situation. Like, we let go of a potentially pretty damn good kicker because the entire fan base wanted to kill him.
So did our coach.
Rightfully. Yeah. When the coach wants to murder him, you can get him at a discount. Sometimes free because we just have to get rid of them. Let's move on to some positions now that we actually have some needs at. Tight end. No elite player. There's no one. Good starter, Jared Cook. Only problem is he's 32 and he can't block a lick. But he's kind of that. If you guaranteed me I'd get the Jared Cook from last year, he was really good last year with Raiders. He'd be a really pretty good fit as that, like, pure just move tight end that's like actually can threaten a seam and like I don't know if I see it. I feel like he's probably gonna get overpaid somewhere.
Probably.
I don't know, not by us. So then you go to the next tier, which is the replacement level starters.
I thought Ebron only signed a 1 year deal
and 2 years.
It was two, okay.
That fucking GM's a genius. Not only did he buy low on a guy, he locked him in for 2 years. Cause he'd be like the elite tier, even though like could be a one-year wonder thing, but still, he was really good last year, Pro Bowl player.
And 27.
Yeah. So, going to the next one, so replacement-level starters, you got Tyler Eifert. He'd be higher than that if he didn't get hurt every single year. He's probably more of the good tier.
I think he's played 16 games the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So, a full season in three, yeah.
Not impressive. Max Williams, also injury-prone, only 25. Going into next season.
Yep, and we've said it before, like
I'm totally on that train.
Like, I'd almost kind of put him at the top of my list available tight ends.
Well, that's the thing. Like, this list is more like general NFL. If I'm picking, like, if I'm the GM, I'd rather have Max Williams at 25 than Jared Cook at 32.
Yeah,
I'm playing the upside game there. Like,
yep. No, but I'm just talking for Vikings.
Yeah, and for Vikings wise, like if I did like a Vikings thing, I'd like I'm not gonna go pay. I don't know what tight ends go for these
probably
days.
Probably $8 million.
Like $8 million for Jared Cook, you probably get Max Williams for 2.5. If who knows? Maybe the guy's gonna be working for nothing. And his PFF grade last year was actually pretty good, better than Kyle Rudolph. Kyle Rudolph's grade, if you go off PFF, he's not good.
Not
a good player.
He's fine. He's borderline. He's
slightly above average receiving, and he's a bad blocker. Whereas Max Williams is a good blocker and a slightly above
thumper. He's got freaking lead feet. Boom, 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 boom.
So like Rudolph graded a 64.
Which is Max Williams. Isn't that right about average?
That's average, but his receiving was 66, which is slightly above. His blocking was 53, which is below.
Below.
Because
60 is average for pro football players, right?
Pretty much. Like 60 is like your 60 is like Tom Compton was a 60. Like you can make an NFL roster, but you're not good at it. So like Rudolph was slightly above, not good at it. Jimmy Graham was a 59. So Rudolph was better than Jimmy Graham. But like Max Williams, in limited snaps, obviously, 71.
And
so like another surprising one, Luke Stocker, 76. He has the highest pro football focus rating of anyone.
Is he from Tennessee?
31 years old. Because first Delanie Walker went down. And then Janu Smith went down.
Yep.
Yeah, his receiving grade is really good, 78. That's like you're in the good tier.
Yeah.
So like he's one that I would keep an eye on, like as a you sign him and no one really knows who Luke Stocker, 31 year old tight end. But like PFF.
What I asked if he was from Tennessee, I meant the Volunteers.
Oh really?
Yeah. Which he was.
Oh, you're just trying to be a smart ass?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey.
I legit thought it was both, but like after I thought about him.
So if we got one of Max Williams, Luke Stocker, or I don't know, I don't really want anything to do with Eifert really. But I guess if we signed it'd be kinda cool. I don't know.
I mean, depending on the price. I mean, if you're getting, him and the Max Williams $2.5-3.5 million.
Yeah, and Eifert's injury this year wasn't related to any of his other problems. Did he break his leg or something?
Yeah,
because he's had like chronic back issues
and shoulder issues.
Yeah, this was more of a freak injury. So I would count this as improving the tight end if we got one of these guys. And then you go to the next tier, which is the like replacement level. Jesse James, he's only 25 and super athletic.
Yeah, what's the deal with him? Why did he?
That's the problem. I feel like he's a lot of hype and nothing ever really comes of him. He pretty much never did anything after like Vance McDonald did most of it. It's like but he's 25, so like tight end's a position that takes a while to learn. So I wouldn't mind it. He's like an athletic freak,
6'7", and yeah, 6'7", didn't he run like a high 4.5?
Yeah, spark rating off the charts. You know, the athletic measurements are there. Antonio Gates still putting up pretty good.
I feel like Gates is probably going to retire.
Yeah,
next year.
Ben Watson, Nick Boyle, like it's just randoms at this point. Like they're not good players. So you're looking at, I really like Max Williams. That's the one I like, and it's probably Minnesota bias, but like he's still only 25, and it's been like a lot of weird stuff. Like he had injuries early, then they drafted a bunch of guys.
Well,
they always had a bunch of guys when they even took them.
Yeah, I was Dennis just going to say,
and then wasn't the other guy
Crockett Gilmore,
there was another one too. I thought there was a black guy too.
Ben Watson.
Was he there?
Yeah. I swear he was there. I think he was there.
The same time when Pitta was there.
I think it was Ben Watson.
It was weird when they took him and he didn't even use him. And then it's like, he's like a 21-year-old rookie. He's super young.
Yeah. And he was like the fourth tight end on the roster.
Yeah. And then they drafted two more this year. So like, they're clearly done with him. And I mean, I guess it's one that you hope you get him. It's like an Ebron. Like, it's literally like an Ebron. Like Ebron, only Ebron got playing time.
True.
So you're kind of buying low on a young guy. If we went into next season with Max Williams, David Morgan, and Tyler Conklin, I don't feel like that's any worse than what we did this year. Because I don't think Kyle Rudolph's anything but I can run and turn around.
So. Yeah. I mean, that's really running in the end zone and catching Hail Mary.
Yeah, he's very good at catching in the end zone.
They had Ben Watson last year.
What year was Dennis Pitta on their team? I know there's a guy that was on the team.
Yeah, well, let's just look at Max Williams the year he was drafted, 2016 Baltimore Ravens roster.
This is exciting.
This is why if anybody wants to apply to be like our tech media guy, we can't offer you anything, but you can have my leftover pizza Lola. We just need you to like look up stuff as we say it.
Yeah, this is like when they get to jump in and we ask them things and they quick do it.
Yeah.
Matthew Judon.
Tight ends.
No, it's not this year.
No.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was Crockett Gilmore. Crockett Gilmore had a little like flash for a second there. People thought he was good.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, because, there's Max Williams, 2015.
2015 draft, huh?
Yeah. You don't know what you're talking about.
Didn't I say 2015?
No. Yeah, you're right. He's in 2016, I think. They had Owen Daniels for a year and Crockett Gilmore. Then they got Pitta. Then they got Nick Boyle, and they got Max Williams, and
they got Ben Watson last year.
Ben Watson, and then they drafted a guy in the first and third round this year, tight end. So.
Yeah, well, they took a guy who was 25.
Yeah, got
him. He was older than Max Williams, and they took him in the first.
Crazy. They must really think Max Williams sucks. But let's move on to receivers. Terrible, terrible class of receivers here. It's not good. Like, there's no Sammy Watkins, who kind of a disappointment, but like,
isn't the best receiver Golden Tate?
It is, yep. And he's the only one I would consider like a good starter. And I don't know.
Isn't
like,
he 31?
It just seems like maybe the end is near for him. Like, did nothing with the Eagles.
Didn't do much with Detroit before he got traded either.
This season was like, meh, all the way around. So he's the only one I consider like good starter category. And then you go down and it's Adam Humphries, who put up really good numbers in Pro Football Focus. And then Breshad Perriman, surprisingly, when he moved over to the Browns.
Yep.
Both of those guys are only 26 years old.
You know, Perriman's a good good guy on the outside because Mayfield found him a couple times.
They're trying to re-sign him. They like him. So, like,
Perriman was a first-round pick.
Yeah. The Ravens let him walk just like they're going to do to Max Williams.
And he got hurt. He had gotten hurt.
Yep.
So, like, you know.
You get him, buy him low, and you hope that, you know, the Browns kind of did it already. So now he's going to get at least a little something because he had a good end of his season. But if we signed him, I think that would certainly check the box. And also, like, big upgrade from Aldrick Robinson. Like, this guy's a pure burner.
And he shouldn't be expensive. He had a couple good, like, yeah, he showed flashes last year, but he had nothing prior to that. And like, that's just the kind of guy where it's like $2 million.
Yeah, boom. Either you're going to get him for like a 1 year cheap deal because he wants to run it back for 1 more year and go to free agency, or you're going to get him for like 3 years on a relatively cheap deal, anyways, because he wants more guaranteed money or something. Yeah. My guess is he probably tries to go somewhere where he gets some more playing time, though. It's going to be tough to be like, hey, come here. But then again, he might say, just think of the coverages you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, I think right here might be one of the more, not ideal, but one of the better landing spots. Because like we had said earlier, you got Diggs and Thielen. He's going to see a lot of like single coverage on the outside. Yeah. Maybe for the first couple weeks, they don't put a safety up top.
Yeah, maybe they're like, it's Breshad Perriman, whatever. And then he burns him for a couple touchdowns. So he's one that I like. After that tier, you're under the... All right, Ryan's going to grab a beer. After the... What did I call it? Now you're under the replacement starters. And you got guys like John Brown, a Ryan favorite, John Brown.
I love me some Smoke Brown.
Did not grade out well. He was the Ravens last year,
John Brown. Yeah, he was at the Ravens last year. He was on my fantasy team, per usual.
29 years old, but he's someone that kind of still fits that mold of just a burner type.
Sickle cell. That's what he's got. Can't play in Denver.
Can't play in Denver.
So, Bronco fans, get off him.
They can't get him. Tough break. Some other randoms. Philip Dorsett, 26 years old.
Another burner.
First round pick.
Played good with Brady.
Yeah, did pretty decent. Devin Funchess.
Bunches of Funchess.
25 years old still.
Did you know that Devin Funchess literally translate to lots of fun?
No fucking way. If you're looking for more of that slot receiver, Cole Beasley. Or Jamison Crowder, former Redskin, only 26 years old.
And isn't he kind of fat, like pretty quick too? Count him as a burner or no?
I don't think he's that type though, that straight line speed guy. Maybe.
Maybe more shifty and quick and than he also, is fast.
Yeah, I think he could do a little of both. Like, it depends on like, this year he was hurt last year, came to this year, didn't really do very well. That's why I have him down here. Like, you told me Jamison Crowder from 2 years ago, he's up by Golden Tate. Like, he was a really good playmaker with him.
Well, with Cousins, I think he was getting like 55, 65 catches a year.
And it was like one of his like go-to guys on third down. So I wouldn't mind him at all. I think he might get overpaid though at 26.
He fits that kind of guy who gets paid more than he should.
Yeah, like people Paul Richardson are gonna, last year.
Yeah, or, people are going to hate him because he makes so much money, but he's actually a good player.
Yeah, so, if he came here, I'd be fine with it.
Kind of like Kirk Cousins.
They hate him because he makes too much money now. Yep. Jermaine Kearse, maybe decent. Tyrell Williams, that guy catches bombs. It's like he does.
Yeah. He's good.
Cordarrelle Patterson, if you want to.
Oh, he's going back to New England for sure.
Maybe. His grades aren't even that bad on Pro Football Focus. Receiving grades. I mean, I know he doesn't run deep routes very much, but like, if you needed a guy to run some bubble screens and do some fun stuff like that and then have the best kick returner in football, you sign Cordarrelle Patterson. After that, it's just bad. Yeah, we'll move on to our number one need, offensive line. We'll start with tackle, which we don't kind of really need that much. But I wish there was a way to just look up if someone, like, can this guy move to guard? You know? But it doesn't exist in the world. Like, Trent Brown, he's not moving to guard. That big left
tackle. Yeah, for the Patriots, yeah.
So there's four that are, like, proven starter types. It's Trent Brown, Donovan Smith of the Bucks, 26 years old. All these guys are 26. Daryl Williams was hurt this year.
Panthers. Yep.
Messed that up last week too. But he was hurt all year, but he was pretty good before that. All those guys are 26. And then Jawan James, I think he's on the Dolphins, 27. I think he can move to guard. So he's someone that maybe you can.
Jawan James?
Yeah, because I think he's a right tackle.
Yep. But why do you say that?
Because I think I read that somewhere that he could.
Is he like 6'7", though?
Let me look.
I feel like he's like 6'7", 340. Or 320. I don't know. I feel like he's a big boy, though.
You feel like he's a big boy.
Yeah.
He is 6'6", 312. He's a big boy.
He's slender, but he's big.
Yeah, that's a tough one to put at guard. I mean, we did it with a couple tall guys once, but like, I don't know. At least we have Kirk.
Yeah, we tried that with Remmers.
Remmers is terrible.
Trash.
Replacement
level at best.
Remmers is on here. Oh no, he's a cut, so he's not on here. But Compton's on here. Don't guess, you're gonna be shocked at what tier he's in.
Oh no, I'm not. Unless you have him in the elite tier, I will not be shocked.
You should be shocked to have him anywhere but the bottom. So the next tier down would be like Eric Flowers. Dude's 25, but he has been terrible. Former first round pick. I don't know some of these guys, like Ty Nischke, 34 years old, but graded really well last year.
The Texans?
Fuck if I know.
Oh, I thought you had.
No, I don't have the team names on there. So there's a few other randoms. No one that we really know who they are, but Greg Robinson, Andre Smith, Jared Valdir, all those former bust losers.
Well, Jared Valdir was not a former bust loser.
He didn't play very well this year,
apparently. Oh, God, no. But wasn't he like...
Yeah, he was actually someone that they liked for a while. Unlike, well, Andre Smith they liked for a while, too. We had him here for half a season.
True. It's true.
Or maybe it was a full season, then he got hurt. And then he just left. That was the Bradford year, right? Oh, you're on your phone.
That was the Bradford year.
Am I going to have to put that face down?
I got a work call. It's Rory.
Wow. I don't know who this Rory fella is.
It's a work call. It's
podcast time.
No, I did just send him a text saying recording right now.
You know, I'm putting my dad to voicemail every time he calls me during the podcast, and you can't put Rory to voicemail?
Do not.
Does Rory listen?
Do not compare. No, Rory does not listen.
Well, then fuck
Thank
Rory.
God.
All right. Let's go to guard. Let's go to guard where things are actually matter. First, let's talk about Tom Compton. Oh, he's in the very bottom, so he's terrible. He was a 60 grade, though, which is actually the same as some guys that you wouldn't expect. I don't know. Anyways, the best guard, I would say, is it's kind of a battle between Roger Saffold. He's 31, though. And then that Mark Glowinski from the Colts, who's 27. Saffold graded a little better, but Glowinski's 4 years younger.
I think I kind of put age over grade at that point.
Yeah, I think I would rather have Glowinski, but I think if we got Saffold, I'd be pretty happy to.
Like, yeah. Those two are obviously tops on the wish list.
Yeah.
You know, the worst part is I don't see us getting either one of them.
Yeah, I kind of don't feel like we're going to either. I feel like Saffold's going to go back to the Rams.
And yep.
I think Glowinski could easily go back to the Colts.
Oh, definitely. Like, if I'm the Colts, I'm not letting them walk. Like,
they have a ton of money.
Yeah, and they had a great offensive line last year.
Yeah.
Why ruin the continuity? You like how I use that word?
That was good.
That was a good one.
You learned a lot. Ramon Foster's the Steelers guard, 33 years old. According to Pro Football Focus, he is terrible at run blocking, but
really?
A beast at pass blocking. Hmm. 84 grade at pass blocking.
Wow.
Which is almost like that's elite tier,
yeah.
But 56 at run.
Well, so I mean, he's a big boy. All he has to do is get in the way. How can he be that bad?
Yeah, and I think he wouldn't be a scheme fit. I think they're more of a power running game there than zone. So after that, you go down a tier, which is where I think we're going to grab someone from. Ben Garland. These guys, I don't really know who they are, but Ben Garland, Mike Pearson, John Miller, Quentin Spain, Matt Slauson. I've heard a little bit about Spain, 28. John Miller's 26.
Like, I know those names from Madden, but
I don't know who they play for. And we wouldn't know if they're good or not anyway. Yeah. So, like, I mean, their Pro Football Focus grades are all, like, mid-60s. So they're slightly above
average. They're kind of, they're kind of like one of those, like, adding a guy. But
it's, I would consider if we grabbed one of them, if we grabbed one of the younger ones as a,
That Miller, 26. Can you say he graded out at like a 66 or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to move him up kind of like the top.
Well,
but after Saffold and whatnot.
Well, no, I would still say that they're like replacement level.
Yeah.
But our guards right now are below that.
Like you said, Compton was a 60.
Compton is, 60 right here. And who's the other guard we had?
Remmers.
Remmers, who I don't even have mine, he's on Frazier, but like he fucking sucked too. So like, going just to even, just to average, is fine by me. Like, would I rather get Saffold or Glowinski?
Yeah.
But if we got, say, we got Quentin Spain, who's an upgrade, not great, but he's an upgrade, and then we draft the guy in the second round or first round.
Oh.
Okay, that's two new guys.
And we reset and we bring back Easton.
Yeah,
I'm not complaining at all.
Yeah, I'm not. You know, it's easy to say go sign a bunch of good free agent linemen.
Yeah.
Well, first off, there really aren't any.
And
second
off,
ones that there are could easily just go back to their team or they don't want to come to Minnesota. Like, you can't, it isn't Madden where you can just be like, oh, no, I want you. You're coming here.
Yeah.
So like,
and that's what a lot of people I feel don't get.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you go get the best ones? because that's not how this
that works. That was always the thing when people would bitch that we didn't have a quarterback forever. It's like, who the hell were we supposed to get? Or like, everyone's like, Favre set us back like 2 years by coming here. It's like, okay, in the 2 years we had Favre, who the hell was available that you would have got?
We had Rosenfeld. We signed Rosenfeld was going to be our starter. Yeah, you're mad that we got Favre over 2 years? Yeah. 2 years of Favre over 2 years of Rosenfeld?
We set back Stage and T-Jack for...
They act like we were looking for quarterbacks in the draft while we had Favre, thinking that... You really think that we thought Favre was going to be around for 6-7 years? Yeah, no, just, we knew it was a 2, maybe 3 years if we're lucky.
If a quarterback would have fell to us, we still would have taken him. Like, yeah. Come on. We only did, one draft with Favre?
Yeah.
The Harbin draft.
Yep.
So we did one Chris draft. Cook was the draft after Favre.
Who was our first round pick? We traded
out of the first round. They traded up for Javon Best. Right there.
I was so mad when that happened because it's like, dude, you made me, because that was like the first year they did like the 7 o'clock draft. It's like, mm-hmm. You made me stay up all night for you to trade out. Really?
Yeah, that was fucking annoying as shit.
And then I didn't even get to see the draft where we traded up to get Patterson and traded up for Harrison Smith.
Yeah, because you got too drunk.
No, I was in Arizona.
No, wasn't it the one you and Rennie? Oh, Harrison Smith.
Harrison Smith.
Oh, they were talking about the Cordarrelle Patterson one.
That's right. I thought they were the... Yeah, yeah. No, I remember watching that at Size, though. I remember getting Patterson at Size. I wanted Alec Ogletree.
Yeah, you and Rennie were so mad. I mean, either way, both those guys didn't really turn out that great. Centers. The best free agent lineman is that Matt Paradis.
Yep.
He graded as the second best center. In football, behind shit, I can't remember his name. Really good player, whatever.
Max Unger,
no, like Saints. Unger.
Oh. Alex Mack,
Falcons. Might have been Alex Mack.
Rodney Hudson, Oakland.
No,
okay,
might be Mack.
Just throwing names out there.
So yeah, basically, you could get him and move Elflein to guard. Would be like the best thing you could possibly probably do. He also fits with us because. I mean, I don't know exactly what they run, but Kubiak was there.
He wasn't in the he wasn't on the coaching staff. No, last year,
he was like
in the office.
Yeah, so he's maybe. Like so I don't know what kind of scheme they run, if it is his own scheme, but I would have to think he could fit our team, and he's the best lineman available. And then after that, Mitch Morse is also a pretty good lineman. Like I'd rate him in the good starter. If you sign him or Paradis, whatever the fuck his name is.
I like Paradis.
Paradis. You're getting. Someone on the level of, like, Roger Saffold. Matt Paradis is probably actually better than Roger Saffold, but, like, if you got Mitch Morrison, you just have to move Elflein then. But I actually wouldn't mind, like, say you signed Matt Paradis, you moved Elflein, and then you drafted a guard in the first or second round, and now it's like, all right, Elflein, you're now battling Nick Easton for your job. Yeah, or you're battling this rookie. Like, I wouldn't mind about that. It. Like, now you're really talking that you've actually improved your offensive line.
And you know what? Having Elflein, I mean, if Elflein were a backup, that were to happen, he's bagging up three positions.
Yeah.
Both guard spots and the center.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you have an extra, you don't have to keep a center and a guard. You have an extra roster spot elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And he'd be a very good backup.
Yes.
You know, I expect him to be our starting center going into next season.
Yeah.
But.
These are just throwing out ideas of what you could do.
Yeah. And. When the guard spot is pretty thin in free agency, but the center spot has a couple good players, you kind of might have to get creative. And then it's like, do you move the new guy to guard, or do you move your current guy to guard? But Elflein played some guard in college.
So, yeah, he did. Because he played with Billy Price, didn't he?
Yeah, he played with Billy Price. So we'll see kind of what happens there. But that is all the offense. It's kind of a pretty overall bad offensive free agency. Like, Le'Veon Bell's like, the cream of the crop, but after him, there is no even like in recent years, like some of the linemen, like Andrew Norwell, that was available last year, like.
And then there was Rodney Hudson and Kelechi Osemele. Yep, the one year the Raiders got both of them.
Well, even that year, there was like, you know, Riley Reiff.
There were a lot Ricky of good Wagner, linemen that year.
Like they all rotated teams, basically. I mean, I know Matt Khalil, no one liked him, but he got paid like he was good. You know, it was
Larry Warford and shit like that.
Yeah, they all just kind of like. That, was it Ronald Leary or whatever his name is? Yeah. Teams too? Like,
yep, there was just a big like merry-go-round.
Russell Okung moved to the Chargers, I believe. So
God, we needed another one of those years.
Yeah, because it's just not very good. I mean, like
the tackles are terrible. You know what's good? Like we're talking about that year, we came out with two linemen that year. I mean, and Remmers was good at tackle. Yeah,
last year they were both pretty damn good.
Yeah,
you know, maybe that's part of why you fell from 13-3 to 8-7-1 because both your free agent guys declined, and one of them went from like solid right tackle to terrible guard. So yeah, that's a bit of
a that's huge because you know your guards are important for the run game. Like everyone,
yeah,
you know football, you know that your interior lineman is the key to your run game, where your tackles are the key to the pass game.
So, I would say if I wanted to get any like two guys, it's one of them top linemen and Max Williams. I'm sticking with Max Williams. One of those receivers would be interesting, but I kind of think you're better off maybe just driving a burger in the draft.
Yeah.
I've watched too many Hollywood Brown videos now. I'm
high. I know. I said it, and all of a sudden I'm like, I want Hollywood Brown.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
I do really like the tight ends, though, too. So, like, if we did end up just restructuring Rudolph and then draft you one, I'm cool to find that.
Just get, you know, do what I said. Trade up in the second. Just get both. Just get a sweet tight end
somehow and Hollywood Brown. Somehow there's a way to do it all.
Rick, give me a call.
Sure, that's done, Rick. It's simple. I've been doing this in Madden for years.
Just wait for somebody to offer you a trade. You get a hell of a haul next year.
Yeah, well, and you can just keep trading back, accumulating more picks repeatedly. Just keep. So next week we'll do the defense, and then I think after that maybe we kind of come up with each of our own, like what we would do if we're the Vikings.
Just
like who we would cut, who we would sign, who we would draft, and then we'll I don't know, we'll figure it out. But I think that'd be kind of
that'd be fun.
You know, we'll compare them. You know, now they're both gonna have Hollywood Brown in them. You know, but you know, maybe not. You know,
hey, yeah, well,
it is interesting.
Wait, like if I say draft Hollywood Brown in the sixth and Devin Bush in the seventh, does that well, count?
Then your mic will be shut off. Doesn't count.
And Devin White in the fifth.
Get them all. But yeah, we'll go through that. Shit, I forgot what I was going to say now. Oh, no, it is like an interesting exercise to like see. Like if you actually look up, okay, like what do people think Anthony Barr is going to go for? And it's like, okay, like somewhere between like $12 and $15 million. So like say you do 13 and then also it's like, shit, I can't do anything. Like it is, or if you go and sign Matt Paradise for like a $12 million deal a year.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it's like, shit, I can't. Well, I certainly can't bring Barr back, but I can't also, it's really hard for me now to either bring Richardson back or sign this guy. Like, either got to go all in on like a couple positions or like spread the money out and fill all the holes. So, yeah. Like one, I was trying to do one where like, we get Grady Jarrett and it's like, dude, fuck it. Let's just get the sweet defensive line, like the best in the league. You can't really do anything else. Now you have like your offensive line's just getting neglected. Barr's definitely not coming back. You got your draft pick still, so you could like, you could draft.
See, and that's the thing. Like, we could definitely go all out and get a big name player.
Yeah,
don't expect anything else, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. And if you get Barr back, that's kind of your big name player. You might get a solid lineman, and then you're done. But you're not. And then you could maybe get a Richardson back. You lose Barr, but then you bring in, you know, the elite center like or something. You just can't get it all. So like.
See, and that's like,
I don't know,
like,
people.
I like, we get it, like you're just about to say. I don't know if a lot of people like realize that. Like, we can't fill all the holes in one off season. Yeah. Like, you're gonna have holes going into every single season. The Patriots every year have multiple holes.
I mean, they lost their left tackle last year. They lost their best, what's his face? Not their best receiver. They lost Amendola and didn't they lose two receivers last year?
Hogan.
Well, they lost Malcolm Butler, who sucked at that point. But they lost a whole bunch of pieces. And everyone's like, oh, geez, look at all the guys leaving. But, like, you just figure it out. I think Zimmer needs to figure it out a little bit on defense. Like, and I think he would. To have that secondary, the secondary's locked in, basically.
You know.
With those DNs, you can't tell me that you can't have a good D with those pieces. So, you know, like,
the thing is, you don't get Barr. You bring in a Thomas Davis or whoever to replace him. He's not very good. You know, maybe we see a lot more big nickel next year with Jaron Curse.
Well, like to be fair,
you like just for Zimmer to just make it work.
Yeah,
you know, just
well, like, just, I feel like he could even make it work with Eric Wilson. Like he can, or some third round rookie. Like
I prefer Curse over both. Or well, over
Thomas Wilson. Davis graded better than Barr. Like Barr, wasn't anything that great last year. That's what scares me about paying him. Like, he was fine, but he wasn't like some...
See, I'm so scared for him to go to some 3-4 team who lets him off the end. And like, listen to every freaking like Vikings person go, whoa, this is how you're supposed to be using him. It's like a different scheme, buddy. Nice try, though, guy.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't even think he'd be good enough. I don't think he'd be that good of a pass rusher. I
see Barr as like the only I don't see him being like an elite 10 sack kind of guy, but like Barr, I feel like, is a perfect fit for what the way we kind of used him last year, kind of, you know, rush off the edge here and there, like, but drop it, yeah, drop back into coverage, and like out of a 3-4, I think it would just be kind of
Makes sense.
I think like ideal situation where I think as a fan would see Barr in the best situation would. Obviously, I think would be Belichick. Like,
yeah, he'd be stand up, roll yeah. around. No, like, and like multiple. Like, he could be 4-3, 3-4. He could do whatever. I mean, he'd be like if the Packers got him.
The Bears?
Bears don't need him. Where would they put him inside?
Anywhere.
Well, inside, they have, outside, they have
float. Leonard they don't, Floyd they, and they can't even afford him because they've got to sign Amos and shit like that. But
I think Barr could be used better. I think he's Philly? Just kind of been overrated. They don't Philly's, have a lot of money either, though.
No.
But, yeah. I don't know. That's another 4-3 wide nine team.
That's right. They
yeah, that's the Jim Schwartz nine. Defense. I think he'd be I think 3-4 would suit him better, but not one where he's like pass rushing every down.
No, not every down, yeah, but just more the occasional of the
zone blitzing. But way more blitzing than we ever would do with him. So,
and that's why I think Belichick, just because, you know, Belichick will move him inside, outside, he'll stick his hand.
That would literally probably be the best spot ever, because they do play. They'll play some 4-3. Well, he knows that. They'll play 3-4. They'll play. You know, one freaking D lineman on the ground. Yeah,
Barr can play Mike. He can play strong. He can play weak.
So.
I like Barr.
I like Barr.
I'm gonna be heartbroken. I'm going to be heartbroken if we lose him. But like, I'm not going to, you know, call for Spielman's head on a spear.
Yeah, whatever. I won't be heartbroken if we lose him. I just hope there's a plan to replace him.
Man,
I got that jersey. And then like another thing I was thinking about with Richardson, it's like, say you lost him and didn't replace him. What about throwing Everson Griffin at 3-tech on passing downs? You like got Weatherly.
We used to do that with Robeson.
Yeah, like with that bull rush, don't you think he could push the pocket?
I would think so. I mean, Robeson used to beat guys with his speed, but, you know, Griffin's strong. Like,
It'd be a different type, but like push that guard right into his lap. So like, yeah, you'd have, you know, first and second down maybe, but like that's when you could go big guys, go Jill Johnson down there, and then, you know, maybe you do just have Tom Johnson be that first and second, okay. Whatever it is, I just think that there's ways that Zimmer could do things without Zimmer having every spot right. figured out. Like last year, he's like, I need a 3-tech. Get me a 3-tech. And they get him Richardson. It's like, maybe one year you just don't get to have every spot perfect for you.
Yeah, maybe, like, maybe this year it's linebacker.
Yeah, maybe this year one of your linebackers isn't that good. Or he's a rookie, or he's some veteran. Or he's J-Ron Curse. But all right,
add like 40 pounds on a curse, call it a day. All of a sudden, he's got the same size and body as Anthony Barr.
Pretty much, Barr's a pretty slender linebacker.
So
well, that's what it's like. I don't know. It is kind of funny. Like, you lose Barr, but it's like like I was saying earlier, there's still some NFL caliber player you can put in his spot. It's not like you're losing Bobby Wagner
or Luke Kuechly. You are losing your play caller, though.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm sure Kendrick's just fine.
Someone can call the defense for us. I kind of wish we didn't actually pay Kendrick's either. $10 million. I feel like he's like, again, I just feel like linebacker's so replaceable.
Okay. $10 million after what happened last year. Yeah. But remember 2 years ago, 3 years ago, how good Kendrick's was. Yeah. Flying sideline to sideline, forcing turnovers, knocking the ball out. Kendricks is good.
I'm not.
I know, but you just said you're a little upset that, like, could you imagine potentially losing both your linebackers?
Whatever. We'll be fine. You see that secondary? Not a hole on it. Dude. You can go to the backups and they're still good.
So
players.
You want to start Gideon and Wilson and Nickel and have George Kittle just destroy you over the middle?
Just sign Thomas Davis and KJ Wright.
Oh, okay. Just sign those guys.
What you get it for less than Barr and Kendricks combined. Easy.
Shit.
All easy.
All right. For 1 year.
For 1 year? Draft a guy in the first round, second round? I just think linebackers. The only thing is, like, you do need those linebackers that can cover those running backs. And our guys are really good at that. So, I don't know. I just, Well, our defense will be good without Barr. 100%. Guarantee it. Our defense will be good without Sheldon Richardson. 100% guarantee it. Our defense will be good without both of them.
Are they?
Guarantee it.
Top 10 good without them?
Yep. Because we got Mike Zimmer. And we got depth at corner. And we got two good pass rushers. Three good pass rushers. And now our offense is actually top 10. We're a better team.
I'm trying to figure out what I want to bet you.
If we lose Richardson and Barr, we will still be a top 10 defense. That's the bet. But well, we could replace it with Devin White.
That's true. That's true. And then I'll be eating my words. It's like, ooh, that's a definite upgrade over Barr. Yeah.
So, all right, let's wrap this up. Next week, we'll hit the defensive free agents, and we'll find something else to bullshit about, too, to start.
Yep, follow us on all the social medias. If you don't remember which ones are at, go to last week's episode.
download last week's again. download them all again. You're going to want to listen to them all
you
the time.
You really are. I mean, I'm sure you guys have a lot of free time there during the week. Like
people are downloading the previous ones all the time. It's bizarre.
Yeah, Cam, like I know you drive a lot, so, you know, why don't you listen to our 53-man roster projections?
Listen to some bad takes about Mac Alexander not making the roster.
Brett Taylor making the roster.
I had to have a few bad. Oh, I had Mike Boone and Rock Thomas both not making the roster.
And you had Marcus Sherrill's cut.
Yeah, well, come on, everyone did. That was the cool hip thing.
I did not.
Oh, okay, you kept him over Mac, so let's not argue cornerbacks.
Yeah, that's probably a bad idea.
Although you are the Trey Waynes. You were first on the bandwagon of him.
I really think I was the first one on the Waynes over.
Yeah, well, because when you said it, it was kind of like, this guy's just trolling.
Yeah, but I still meant it. I felt it.
You think people are going to be pissed when we don't trade him and we don't end up upgrading the line as much as we want?
Absolutely.
Like, we should have traded Trey Waynes. We've got 90 cornerbacks. Trade his ass.
Whoa, what are we doing keeping Everson Griffin?
Oh, yeah, that'll be one, too. He wasn't even good last year. He's $10 million. Just cut his ass and signed some shit.
We should have kept Barr and cut Griffin. It's like, they play two different positions. I can't wait for the hot takes come, like, next November. Vikings Twitter is gonna go crazy. Oh,
it's gonna be a meltdown a day in a free agency when we don't sign anybody.
Oh my god!
Because we're not gonna, and we're gonna probably lose Richardson and Barr.
Saffold's gonna re-sign with LA before free agency even starts. Why didn't we offer Saffold that kind of money?
Yeah,
because we can't yet.
Spielman, you pussy! Circumvent the rules already.
Trade for his rights.
Should have traded Treadwell for a first. What are we doing?
I love that too. Took him in the first. You're going to get a first for him.
People just do ridiculous trades. Like, Trey Waynes for Brandon Scherff. Like, whoa, wait, what? Like, and a first? What's happening here?
Hey, now. And all we had to do was kick in a little six. You know, honestly, I'm all for it. Don't think it's going to work, but I'm for it. Because then you could take DeAndre Baker out of Georgia at 14 to replace Trey Waynes.
I hope Zimmer just takes another corner in the first round. Oh my God. Just fuck with everyone.
Dude, he might fuck with my head if he does
that. I would not be happy if he did that.
I would freak the fuck out.
Part of me does want to somehow make it where we do let everyone walk and then only sign the guys that are cut so that we get the comp picks. Because, like, Barr's going to get you probably a third or fourth.
Okay, you know, I've got an issue with people going, oh, let Barr walk and you get a third or fourth round comp pick.
That's if you don't sign anyone.
Yeah, fine. But also, you took him in the first.
Yeah, but you can use that money to sign someone else.
I mean, I get that. But at the same time, you're banking on a mid-round comp pick for somebody to use a high asset.
You're not banking on anything. You're just excited to get it.
I just... There's just people, like... I've seen some things
on
Twitter.
That's how you build the case, though, against keeping him. It's like, okay, that's just one of the pieces. It's like, he's good, not great. He's... gets you a comp pick. And he's going to get paid... like, he's really good. So it's like, I think you could use that money. The thing is, I
keep seeing, like, 15 mil. I'm like, just fucking pay him. I honestly have no idea what it does to our cap.
That's the thing. Like, when we do, after next week, when we do our little, off-season plans, what we would do, try to do some plans with him. Go to that Over the Cap website.
Yeah.
Run that calculator thing. Do some stuff with him re-signing for a realistic money, like 13 to 15.
Yeah.
And it makes it tough. Like you're getting whole, or you're doing a lot of restructuring, which is hurting next year's cap. Like That's the only.
Oh, difference. Who cares about next year? You worry about next year.
Restructuring Linval and like all these guys. So
don't need him. He'll be 31 next year. You just cut him at that point.
But there also is
take the dead money for the next year.
Pushing a can down the road.
But if you keep pushing money down the road,
it eventually just goes away. Yeah, it's just your problems just disappear.
It's like saying Mexico will bill for the wall.
Yeah, you say it enough, and then you kind of change it a little. Like, nah, they're not going to pay for it right now. We're going to do it in some tax plan or something. You just lie, basically. You just lie about it. There is some plans though where you can just re-sign Barr, grab a solid free agent guard, go to the draft, you take a three tech, and you take like a tight end receiver. That's a pretty basic, easy plan, and like that's very doable. I think that cap wise that's very doable.
Yeah,
you know, it's nothing crazy. You're probably not gonna get some elite lineman, but you could probably grab one of them second tier guys, plug him as a starter. He's still an upgrade. Draft a guy in the second round and draft a three tech in the first round. I mean, it's fucking loaded with them.
Third round, because you're taking Hollywood Brown in the first.
Hollywood Brown. He's coming.
Y'all heard it here first. Vikings, Hollywood Brown bandwagon.
You know what I...
Started on Grapes and Gorak.
Absolutely.
We should probably start tweeting that just so people know we were the ones who said it first.
Well, you know what it reminds me of is when the Vikings took Randy Moss. Not that he's going to be anything like Randy Moss, but no, everyone was like, well, we got Jake Reed, we got Chris Carter, we've got to improve that defense. And also it's like Randy Moss. Oh fuck yeah! Like,
yeah.
Let's do this. Like,
the Titans took Kevin Dyson over Randy Moss,
and it just seems like the NFL. You gotta outscore the other team. We need to like be more explosive. We need playmakers around Kirk Cousins. Let's just
nobody has the plethora of corners that we do. Like,
well, that's the thing. Yeah,
nobody can stop three wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, you're usually going down to fucking just terrible players that you can just beat easily. So, part of me just wants to go all offense. Just let Zimmer figure it out.
You just wait till we hop on. God, what is that one draft site where you can, what is that, Draft Tracker or something like that?
Where you get to do the drafts?
The mock drafts.
There's the one that's like mock the draft. There's Draft Tech that you can do stuff on. But then there's that mocking the draft or mock the draft or whatever it is.
Yeah, and it gives you like different big boards and whatnot.
Yeah, you pick the big board.
You just wait till you and I get to.
Oh, we're going to do a live one of those.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
It's always fun.
Oh, Rennie's going to hate it.
Rennie wants a 7-round mock. Didn't say January, though.
Yeah, right? I saw it. Didn't say January. For it. Sure. All right, Rennie, you want a 7-round mock draft? I'm giving it to you right now. First round, Hollywood Brown. Second round, Noah Font. Third round, Devin White. Fourth round, Jonah Williams. You know what? We traded our 5th, 6th, and 7th to move up to get Hollywood Brown.
No, we traded our 5th, 6th, and 7th for our first next year.
Oh, yeah. That's right. And Treadwell.
Yeah, we got rid of Treadwell.
Treadwell, 5, 6, and 7. We got a first next year from the Raiders.
Yeah. We got two of them from them. Treadwell, I feel like, will be here if we don't add anyone. But the minute we add someone... They're going to be like, okay, well, what are we going to do with this fucker? He's never going to play. He's taking up $2 million cash base. Let's just trade him.
And Zimmer's just going to be like, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to play him.
Yeah. We basically, Stefanski didn't really play him. He put him inactive again.
There was one time I feel like I saw him play one snap. I'm sure he played more, but it was a little motion next to Rudolph and blocked the linebacker.
Yeah, that was like his number one move. Well, Flip
loved using him that way.
Yeah, he loved that. Well, once we went away from the 3-4 wide with Flip and we're doing two tight ends, like he never saw the field. And then they like clearly liked BB more. They liked, I mean, he Eldrick Robinson played way more than him, so I don't know. Treadwell, I know he's young, but if you draft a guy, there's no way he's going to get playing time.
And you know what? Treadwell seems like the perfect change the scenery kind of guy.
Yeah, like Devontae Parker, who I should have mentioned as a potential cut. He's gonna be probably cut because he's just been a fucking complete clown.
Treadwell, Devontae Parker, welcome to the Patriots.
Welcome to the Patriots. They would never take those two guys. They don't know how to.
Before we close this all out, what do you got this Sunday in the Super Bowl? I think we talked about it last week, but throw it down once again.
I got Patriots.
I got Patriots over Rams. Should be close. I'd actually be surprised if it was a blowout.
Yeah, I'd be pretty shocked. I mean, the Patriots have never been in a blowout Super Bowl.
Almost were.
Yeah, until they came back in 28-3. So I'd expect it to be good. Who are you? And I know we think the Patriots, but are you rooting for the Patriots?
Yeah, I'm rooting for greatness.
I'm rooting because I just prefer NFC teams lose. That just makes me happy.
Yeah, there's that too, but I'm, you know. Brady going for six.
Also, right? I do appreciate that everyone kind of hates the Patriots, and I think it's funny when they win.
Yeah.
I wish they would have won last year.
Well, I think a lot of Vikings fans were.
But the Viking fans certainly.
I didn't even watch the Super Bowl last year.
You didn't?
No.
I went to it.
I know you did. I did not want to watch the Eagles play in our stadium.
I would have, like, I got robbed of my Brady moment because a fucking Brandon Graham stripped him. I was like.
Derek Barnett.
Did no, Barnett recovered it.
Right? Oh, he recovered it? I thought he stripped him and Graham recovered it.
Yeah, I think I think you're right. I think it's the other way around. Because I think it was, the guy that we traded Sam Bradford for.
Exactly.
Or, the pick or whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, it was like, oh, man. It was like a minute 30 left or 2 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, it's robbed of your Brady moment.
No one has stopped anyone this entire game. It's like, dude, you guys scored too fast. Brady's going to go down and score on you. It's going to be beautiful. He gets fucking stripped, and that's the end of it. It's like, what the fuck? Like, at least I'll get him to do some more passes.
Yeah, give me to, the 20 before that happens. Yeah,
strip him. Like, he's, three plays in, and he's already over with, so.
Yep. God, that sucks. You got robbed of your Brady moment. Yeah. That's so
exciting.
I
was excited to just – and to watch these Eagles fans get their heart tripped out because they'd never won a Super Bowl, and instead they – it was so cold that day, too. Not as cold as, tomorrow and the next day.
The polar vortex is back.
Yeah, -20, but. All right, let's wrap it up.
It's been a pleasure. Yeah, again, follow us on all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Follow us, read things,
Subscribe. Unsubscribe. Yeah, that means you, Jerry. All right, we'll catch you next week.